God equips each Christian with at least one spiritual gift, which we should use to glorify Him. As believers, we should also understand the importance of serving one another as we collectively serve Christ. On today, Associate Pastor Julian Watkins focuses on 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 7 through 11, with part 11 of our series on body work, with a sermon entitled Serving Each Other with God-Given Gifts. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. Thank God for that, right? Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as God, as good stewards of the manifold grace. God. Verse 11, whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs glory and dominion forever. Starting at verse 7, Peter says the end of all things is near. That sounds kind of ominous, doesn't it? I think that's called an attention getter, right? If you were not listening, you might be listening after you hear the words, the end of all things. Not just some things, but all things is near. And as a result of that, he says, be of sound judgment and sober spirit, purpose of prayer. When you hear the words of Peter, you get the sense that there's some urgency, right? It is a situation where time is running out. Anybody ever felt like time is running out? As you get older, you start thinking about time more. Is that right?
That's right.
My son, Aiden, he likes to say, I can't wait till, and he'll say, next week, till Friday, till Christmas, or whatever it might be in the future. But as you get older, you're like, hold on, man, pump the brakes a little, time out. Right? I'm not looking for tomorrow. I mean, let this be one of them that's 48 hours long.
Right.
I need as many of these days as I can get.
Yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
But I understand that as a kid, right? We used to do that same thing because your whole life is in front of you, right? And you're looking down the road and you are saying, yourself, you know what, this is going to be fun, this is going to be exciting, I can't wait until that day, right? But time is of the essence, and we need to be thinking about what is down the road, right? Some of us can get so enamored with the idea that we have our boarding pass stamped, and that we are on our way down the King's Highway on our way to glory, right? And we forget about the fact that there's others who might not be on that same road. They might not have that as their final destination. That we might need to employ some of the gifts that God has given us to help others along the way. And we're going to get into this a little bit more as we talk about why it is that God actually gives us gifts in the first place. It's not for you. It's for others, right? And it is to bring glory and honor to God. That is the reason why he gives us these gifts. So we have this idea that time is running out, and that we don't have time to waste, do we? That's another thing. As you get older, you start to utilize not just the days that you have, but the hours that you have, and the minutes that you have, and the seconds as well, right? As you get closer to that time where you are about to leave this life and go into the next, seconds seem to be very important, don't they? And we need to think about this as it pertains to what it is that we do for God. There is an urgency. Time is running out. And we do not have time to waste. He goes on to say that we should make a proper, godly, righteous evaluation of circumstances and situations. He said, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. See, the world likes to tell you that the Bible says, judge not, right? But we need to make proper assessments of things as they exist, right? We all make assessments, we all make judgments from day to day about many things. If we don't, we are going through life blind, right? One step at a time, and we really have no direction or focus. We don't have a situation where, as Christians, that we should have this idea like the world has, right? We need to make a righteous evaluation, not one that is influenced by the court of popular opinions or political correctness or expedience, right? If you find yourself on the same road as those in the world, then you need to check, right, yourself and make sure that you are not going down the wrong path. See, people, they seek fame, fortune, money, prestige, all this kind of thing. Why? A lot of it is because they want to elevate themselves, lift themselves up. But when you have a gift from God that you're using for the furtherance of his kingdom, you decrease so that others might increase. And ultimately, so that God gets the glory. He also says, have an alert, discerning, unwavering spirit. Not like that drunk on the road at 3 a.m., right? He says, be sober. Sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. We have to be awake, don't we? And the only thing keeping me awake this morning is I'm standing up here right now. Usually I don't fall asleep when I'm standing up. There have been times, though. But I'm sitting there, and I'm charging us up like that, and all of a sudden my head would be like this. If somebody was looking at me, they would think I would have taught the Holy Spirit. The way my knees is buckling here and on, right? And that's when I have to excuse myself and go off the floor for a little while and walk up some stairs, up and down some stairs, and do some laps around the unit, right? To get myself awake, but we need to be alert. We cannot afford to be asleep, all right? Let's not fall asleep this morning, okay? I know it can be hard sometimes, right? But be aware of what is going on in the world around you, right? Peter also said, you know, that we need to be aware of that roaring lion, right? The one going around seeking whom he may devour. We need to be alert because some of these dangers that are all around us, we don't even recognize as being there. We think that that's just a little thing, right? We think that, oh, that don't add up too much, right? But if you begin to analyze and make proper judgments about what is going on in the world, you will come to the same conclusion that Peter did when he said the end of all things is near. It is. And as a result, you need to have some sound judgment. You need to have a sober spirit. And the reason why is what? Why?
Prayer.
To win.
Mm-hmm.
So that you will know what to pray for. So that you will know who to pray for. If you want to pray in God's will, first you got to know what His will is. Which means you got to spend some time in His will. What does that mean? You got to spend some time in His word, right? More and more I'm hearing now that people need to pray God's word.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Now, never mind about coming up with all these fancy words that you even came up with, right? But when you have the word of God in your spirit, in your heart, and you begin to pray, right? And then those scriptures begin to come and flow as you pray. That adds some power, doesn't it?
Yes,
huh?
Yes.
Huh? And then somebody else might come along and say, you know what? My spirit bears witness with your spirit, right?
Yes.
And I might be able to agree. You know what they say about two Christians that agree when they touch, right? Anything. You know what happens, right? Hmm?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Huh? Right there in the middle. Same. That ain't me falling asleep.
Huh?
That's God, right? God is able in the midst of these tests, midst of these trials, to be right there in the midst, and you can have a confidence that does not come from your education, does not come from who you know, right, in this world. It does not come from all of them letters behind your name, right? All of them fancy degrees that you might have. It doesn't come because of how many zeros you got. I mean, with a number in front of the zero. Right? They got a whole bunch of zeros, but it ain't no real number in front of the zeros, right? I ain't talking about just zero. I'm talking about a whole bunch of zeros with a number in front of it, right? Yeah? It's not that, is it? Success is not determined, nor is it measured by dollars and cents, right? Or even length of years, right? You got a whole bunch of folks that's got a whole lot of years, and all they are is a bunch of old fools, right? God has given them grace and mercy for many, many, many years, right? And they still have not come to the knowledge of the truth. They have heaped to themselves teachers, having disappeared, forever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Hmm? Yeah, they go to these churches where they make you feel good. Hmm? They come and they puff you up and tell you you're doing everything right. Just keep on writing out them tithe checks, right? And I tell you whatever you want to hear, right? But that's not what we are all about here. We want to give you food for your soul. We want to give you that which is needed to even make a difference in these last and evil days. We're going to go ahead and continue on. Verse 8, it says, above all. When I saw that above all, I thought about the passage where it talks about the whole armor of God. He began to name, right, all the different pieces of the whole armor of God. He talked about the helmet of salvation. He talked about the shield of faith. He talked about the belt of truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Hmm? But he also said, above all, take what? You want to take the sword of the Spirit, right? Which is the word of God. The word of God. The whole thing about gifts is that it's a ministry. The whole thing about gifts is that you have to operate and function in accordance with God's word. Because when you pray, as it said in that previous word, you pray in accordance with God's word and His will, there's some power behind that and things begin to happen, don't they? Right? We don't move God because of our many words, because of our $50 words that we use, right? God is moved by faith. He is moved when our will conforms and lines up So above all, it's very important. This means to pay special attention to this. Make note of this, actually, right? That means you need to underline and highlight this. What is it? He said, keep fervent in your love for one another. I keep seeing this theme of love, right? You look at the Ten Commandments, when you look at the Golden Rule, right? When you look at what it is that Christ said we need to do in order to fulfill and keep the whole law of God, love is right in the middle of that, isn't it? And it's something that needs to motivate us, needs to inspire us in everything that we do, and that includes the use of those spiritual gifts that God has given to us. Fervent means having or showing great warmth or intensity of spirit, feeling enthusiasm, etc., in your love for one another. Now, one might ask, why on earth would you want to do that? Why would you want to do that? You don't take all of that. That's over the top, man. You're doing too much, right? Way too much. They understand, right? They understand that I love them, that I care about them, right? I mean, after all, I keep coming home, don't I? Huh? I keep showing up, don't I? You know, I'll keep all my money. Right? But that's not it, though, is it? The reason why we need to do that, why we need to show this love, is because love covers a multitude of sins. Aren't you glad for God's love to be shown? And I think you know, you lived any time, how it is that Mary felt when she broke open that alabaster box, right? And those men standing around couldn't understand, they couldn't explain why it is she was wasting that which was equivalent to about 300 denarii, which each denarii was a day's wage. We're talking about $300, that's almost a year's wage. This woman that gave up her future, possibly a family heirloom that broken in the process, right? And why is she crying, washing his feet? Why is she wiping his feet with her hair and drying it off? Why is it that she is taking this costly perfume, this, to put it on Jesus' feet? Why? Jesus explained it. The one who has been forgiven much. Does what? Loves much, doesn't it? We begin to look back at our lives and we begin to look at what it is that God has saved us from, what he has forgiven us for, and it should cause us to do what? To love much, right? Which means that presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, you look at that as being no more than your own reasonable service, no less than what you should. As it pertains to your gifts, you know that that gift came from God because every good, every perfect gift comes from above. It comes down from the Father in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. You know who it came from, and you know it's not yours. It's his. He gave it to you to be a steward over it, right? To use it to bless others, to show love to others, and to bring glory and honor to God. It's not hard thing to understand. We just need to get with the program. We deal with the sins of others, don't we? But guess what? They deal with ours too, don't they? And what does it take in order for us not to go off on somebody? What does it take? It takes the Holy Spirit. But for those that don't have the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit can restrain you, can't you? Right? I've been in some situations where the Holy Spirit has restrained me. Yes, and I'm thankful for that. But if you have love, right, for each other, it will cause you to not do everything you think about doing, right? It'll cause you not to say everything that you think you want to say, right? It will even cause you not to think about things or think of people in certain ways, right, that you ought not think, right? Everybody's not a villain, right? Everybody don't have your interest down here and theirs up here. Everybody is not malicious. Everybody is not out to get you, right? That sounds like some paranoia, right? That is not what everybody is all about, is it? Right? And we need to understand that love is that driving force that should cause us to do everything that we do and cause us to say everything we say, even if we start thinking about each other, right? Jesus explained, where do these things come from? The things that you say and the things that you do. These things come from where? The heart, right? It starts in the heart. It starts in the mind. If you can get control of that heart, right, you can control what you say and what you do. But that's not the job to do, is it? It's not a job that you can do. That's the job for the Holy Spirit to do, right? James said the man that can tame his own tongue is the same as a perfect man. Mm-hmm. With that same tongue, you do what? You praise and bless God, and then you curse men with that same tongue, don't you? Right? You know how ludicrous that is? That's the same thing as saying that from one spring you can get salt water and fresh water at the same time. Can't be done. You won't find that in nature either. It's unnatural. Some people don't only have, as some believe, hang-ups, issues, idiosyncrasies, quirks, personality flaws, behavioral problems. Guess what all that is? Did I hear somebody say that? Who said that? That's fancy ways of talking about sin in your life, right? You ever use any of them words? Hang-ups. Got some hang-ups. I just got a few hang-ups. Right. I mean, yeah, everybody got issues. I got mine too. You know, that's your that issues, right? That's just a little idiosyncrasy in mine. That's one of the quirks, right? Little quirks, right? And then some of us get real sanctimonious, like real pious, and say, "Yes, I have some personality flaw." As do we all. Kids, yeah, them kids, they got some behavioral problems, don't they? Right. You know what that is? That ain't nothing but sin, right? A man born of a woman is but a few days and full of trouble. You know what that full of trouble is? Sin. Let's call it what it is, right? It's all the same thing. It's all sin. And guess what? You need a lot of love to cover it all, too, don't you? Right? Aren't you glad that there's somebody in the world that loves you too, right?
Amen.
Because they don't hold to your charge and to your account every little thing that you ever did, right? We got some people that try to. They're not everywhere at the same time, right? And they don't know everything you did, do it, right? And guess what? God has seen everything that you have done. Even when you thought you were by yourself, He has seen everything and He has heard everything that you have said. Even that stuff you said under your breath. Watch out, children. As you walk away, as you go up the stairs, mama, under your breath. Your parent passing. What was that? Did you say something? I ain't said nothing. Check your ears. I didn't say nothing. God knows, doesn't it? Right? And guess what? Well, I know what I'm going to do. I ain't going to do nothing, and I ain't going to say nothing. Guess what? He knows what you're thinking, you know? Got you there too, right? Yeah. You can go to the depths of the sea, right? The song is, if I make my bed in Sheol, the grave, you are there, right? Huh? Knew me in my mother's womb, right? Huh? God is there. So we have to be careful. But thank God for His love, right? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Thank God for that. That while we were yet in sin, right? Christ, while we were yet in our sins, while we were enemies of Christ, Christ died for the ungodly. Didn't He? He didn't wait for us to become His friend first, but He died for us while we were yet His enemies. And that's something we need. Verse 9, it goes on to say that we need to be hospitable to one another without complaint. What sense does it make for you to be hospitable to somebody and the whole time they're there you complain? about everything that they and their kids do, right?
Yeah.
I can't believe you. They come up in your house and they leave food in the cup and stuff all over the place. If somebody done got ketchup on my refrigerator, what kind of person would raise their kids like that? Complaining about everything the whole time, right?
Yeah.
But look what they did. They done left these towels and these washcloths out here. Don't they know they supposed to hang them up? They gonna mildew. Them are good towels. Right? Look at this. They done left this morning. They didn't even try to make the bed up. I know I'm gonna strip it down and wash all these sheets and everything, but they could have at least, you know, they could have at least made some effort, right? You know, come on now. What's wrong with these people? Right? I mean, these kids, they done came up here and ate me out of house and home. I said, help yourself, you know, to the flutter and the refrigerator, but that's a figure of speech. I didn't mean that, you know, intentionally. I didn't mean you just clean me out. Good night. I gotta eat this week too. What's the sense in being hospitable to people, right? But you're gonna complain the whole time.
Mm.
Huh? What if Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
What if Jesus did that to you? Huh? Every time He extended himself to you, every time he opened up a window of opportunity, a door of opportunity, every time he made a way out of no way, right? Every time you found favor in God's sight, right? And you know that it's favor because you walked into this situation not knowing how he was going to get through it or how he was going to be able to prosper in this situation. And God just kind of like when Moses was walking through the Red Sea with the children of Israel behind him, just parted the way. You walking through on dry ground. Now you know good and well that ain't no luck. You know that ain't happenstance. You know that's nothing but the grace and the mercy and the goodness of God.
Yes, sir.
And that's all it is.
Yes, sir.
Hmm? That's all it is. So it's no sense in us trying to fool ourselves or fool anybody else. We know that's God. So being hospitable does not mean putting up with people, does it? It don't mean tolerating people, does it? Being hospitable means treating others the way you would like to be treated, right? Hmm? But wait a minute. That's them, and this is me, right? I deserve, right, to have some hospitality, right? I ain't like them, right? I know better than to leave towels and washcloths on the floor, right? I know how to hang stuff up, and I make the bed, even though I know they're going to change it anyway. Mm-hmm. And when I go in, I always make sure I leave a little something in the refrigerator just so they don't say I took it off. I know how to do this thing. We need to understand that we need to be able to prefer the needs of others over our own needs. That is the demonstration of love for someone else. When you can have a sacrificial love that says, you know what, I'm going to do without so that what? They can have, right? I'm going to do without. I'm going to rely on God to bless me, to take care of all my needs according to his riches and glory, right? And I'm going to take this little bit that I have here, you know, whatever I have, and I'm going to give it to others. One of the problems with having stuff is that if you hold your hand like this, God can't take nothing out. Give it to somebody else. But guess what else? You can't put nothing in there either, can you? Because you're holding on to the little bit that you have so tight that nobody can get anything out, and God can't put nothing else in there. And some people, they squeeze so tight that it starts to eke out between the little slits in their finger, and one day they open up their hand, and there's nothing left. Why? Because they were stingy. They were greedy, right? They were inhospitable, right? We need to understand that being hospitable towards one another is one of the things that God is commanding us to do because it demonstrates what? Love in a practical way, a tangible way, one that can be readily seen, not only by others, but you can see it as well. At times, it means being inconvenienced, doesn't it, right? People will come, and they need hospitality sometimes at the most inopportune times, right? I I don't have everything lined up the way that I would like it to be, right? And so I'm going to have to say, no, you can't come in because I didn't act in much. You know, it's kind of late at night. I'm in the middle of a load of laundry, right? I didn't have a chance to go to the grocery store. Meanwhile, they're standing out there on the porch and it's raining cats and dogs. You telling them, be fit, right? Go. Go and be filled, right? You filled with what? God has given you what you have. And you might think that it is nothing, but how many times has God shown in the scripture and in your own life that he can take a little bit and turn it into a whole lot, right? I think there was a little boy who had a little basket that had a little fish dinner right here. What? Two fish and five biscuits or something like that. And then I don't recall him saying, you know, he snatched it back and said, oh, this is mine. If I show up home without what mama sent me to get, I'm going to be in trouble. He didn't do that, right? They don't say he did that. But he offered it up. Jesus blessed it. And what happened? He was able to multiply it and feed 5,000 men plus women and children, and took up what? 12 baskets of leftovers. I think everybody went home satisfied on that day. And they didn't have to worry about trying to get some food for dinner, right? We need to be able to take what we have, what God has blessed us with, and use it to bless others. We don't need to stockpile it until we get enough where we think, now this is sure enough going to be a blessing to somebody. If you do that, who gets the glory? Because of all of your hard labor, your hard work, your intuitiveness to stockpile and save, and now I have plenty, and I'm going to have leftover once y'all come in here and eat me out house and home because I got another cellar in the back, right? Y'all go on here because I got mine back there, right? This is the old stuff, this is the new stuff back here, right? That's not the way God operates. He wants you to be like that widow, right? What was she going to do? She was going to bake a cake, feed her child, feed herself, and then they was going to sit there and wait for death to come. The prophet came and said, no, don't do that. Make me one first. Right? Now that sounds kind of insensitive if you say it that way. But it was a matter of what? Faith, right? In who? In God, not in my own resources, not in what I have, not in the little bit that I have, but it is what? Faith in God, because he's going to take this little bit that I have, and he is going to sustain me. When she was obedient and stepped out on faith, she went back to those containers and looked in there and what? Filled to the top. She didn't run out, did she? Didn't run out. We have to be like that. That other widow, right? There's a lot of widows in the Bible, ain't there? These faithful widows, right? They don't have a husband, so they got to depend on somebody, right? They depend on the Lord, don't they? What did she do? She took all that she had. She snuck up there while the Pharisee was over here talking about all he was giving, right? Talking about how he ain't like the tax collector over there, right? And she sneaking in. What did she do? She put in all she had. Who gave more, Jesus said. Well, she gave all she had, whereas Pharisee, he gave from what? His abundance, right? He gave a percentage that was less than what she gave, right? When you start talking about giving to God, God is not interested in amounts, but he is interested in percentage, right? Because the percentage that you give determines where your faith is at, right? There's some people that tithe 90% of their income live off of 10. There's people that do that. That takes some faith. I'm not there yet. Hopefully I will get there at some point if God should lay it upon my heart to do so. I said if God should lay it upon my heart to do so. If this becomes a prerequisite of some sort, right, for me to get to the next level, I will humbly and obediently do that, but the Lord knows, right? That today is not the day, is it? You're not allowed to have children who are in college and two more that have to go. But God will make a way, won't he?
Mm-hmm.
He will make a way. He will continue to make a way. Some of the examples in Scripture of allowing yourself to be inconvenienced or putting yourself out there would be like the nighttime friend who came banging at his friend's door, right? Luke 11:5-8. We know the story, how he came and the man was locked in the house. He had a door locked, right? That wasn't as easy as just turning the knob, right? And the little, you know, and then letting him in. Now, we're talking about we had boards going across, maybe some pegs in the floor, right? Because they didn't have no hardware with a key where they could just kind of turn it, deadbolt lock, and let you in. It was a major thing to get the door unlocked. Hopefully a fire don't break out in the house because everybody's gone, right? But he was already, he said, I'm already in bed with my family. I mean, he didn't have his own bed. He and the whole family is, if I get up, guess what? I'm not going to just wake up myself, but I'm going to wake my wife up and my kids. And this kid just stopped screaming, right? He just went to sleep. Stop all that banging out there, right? But he got up, didn't he? Because of the man's persistence. Right? He got up, and also because in that culture, there was this thing called hospitality, right? And it was something that was very important. Word got around if you didn't show hospitality, right? People knew that you were not the most hospitable person, and they might bring you a little bit in society. They might show you a little bit in society. You may not be extended certain benefits of being part of that society because it was well known throughout the city that when he came and knocked on the door, he needed just, what did he ask for? Some bread? Because of his, and it wasn't even for himself. When his friends came, unexpected, he didn't have nothing, right? So he knocked on his friend's door and said, can you help me out? We got to be hospitable, right? I'm trying to be hospitable, and I'm asking you to be hospitable, right? So that we can do things decently and in order and help out our neighbor, right? You knock on somebody's door now, they call the police on you, right? Or they open up the door, and you got a double-barrel shotgun looking like this, right at you. Huh? We need to be, what? Hospitable. And that is what God has called us to do. Another example of this inconvenience or putting yourself out there was the Good Samaritan. Also, Luke, right? The book of Luke. I believe that was chapter, was it 10 and 30 through 37? Where the Good Samaritan, he was on his way to take care of business. But he saw somebody who had fallen by the wayside and had succumbed to thieves, was beaten, and what most likely was going to die. And he put himself in that position, didn't he? And did what he wanted others to do for him if he found himself in that situation. Peter, in the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, he said something to a beggar, a lame beggar. What did he say? He said, gold and silver have I not. I don't have no gold and silver. A little bit, maybe for my was a nice group. I wasn't a tarnished. I need to see how much I can get for it. So I had to put at least one of them through first semester of college. I don't know. But gold and silver have I not. But what I have, what I give to you in the name of Christ. In the name of He said he didn't have silver and gold, but God had given him what? A gift, right? And what was that gift? Now, what did that man need? He needed healing, didn't he? Right? He reached out, took the man by the arm, and guess what? He got healed, didn't he? He jumped around, huh? Praising God, giving glory to God, right? He took what God had given to him, and he used it for the benefit of that man, right? And to the glory of God. Verse 10. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as God, good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Your gifts are not just some old gift for you to say and re-gift next year to someone else because you don't particularly care for it, right? See, God gives you the gift that he wants you to have, right?
Mm-hmm.
He gives you the gift that is needed in that body of believers that you are associated with, that you're affiliated with. It might not be the one that you want, though, right? You ever gave somebody a gift and you asked them, well, did you like it? That's what you asked for. And then they like, yeah, I mean that's... That's kind of, you know, what I had to ask for. But see, the thing is, there was this other one, right? It looked just like this one, but I had my heart set on this one. And I'll take this one. I'll take it because I don't want you, you know, to have to take it down. I don't want you to feel bad. I'll go ahead and take this one, right? Hmm? You imagine doing that to God after he done gave you a gift, right? You know, again, God, I know. I know teaching is important. I love understanding. People need to be taught things, you know. I don't know, but I kind of like being up there in the front. But Mike, man, I got a good singing voice. And I think it would be a travesty. I think it would be a shame for me to show up on Sunday and not share with these I meet the gift that you have given to me with this voice that you have blessed me with. And I'm not talking about my speaking voice, I mean my singing voice. Right? I need to give him his voice. Right? But see, God knows your heart, doesn't he? Doesn't he? Huh? Same thing happened to Lucifer, didn't it? Before his name got changed to Satan. Same thing. He got lifted up in what? Pride. We know that pride goes before the fall. It does. We need to understand that the gift that we have is not a gift that you choose. And when you get the gift, it's not your gift. It's God's gift that he gives to you, right? And he gives it to you to serve others, to show love to others, and he gives it so that he might give the glory. Think about the gift that God has given you. Everybody here has a And the person who has not identified what that gift or gifts are is not because God has not revealed it to you necessarily. A lot of times it's because that gift is not the one that you want in the first place, right? You want something else, and you holding out, right? You holding out. You're trying to see, you know, if maybe you can re-gift this one, right? Maybe I'll take this one and I'll rewrap it next year and I'll give it to somebody else and then maybe something better come my way next year, right? Think about that. The gift that God has given you, you need to be faithful in doing that, using that gift that God has given you. Is it like that gift that children play with all of 2 days and then throw it into the corner because they have their eye on the next greatest thing? You ever had a kid do that?
Yes.
They even asked for something for 6 months before Christmas. You buy them exactly what it is that they want. They jumping up and down the step. I mean, Christmas morning, they trying to get up at 4 a.m. The sun haven't even came up yet, right? And they want to open this gift, and you thinking, yeah, we done did it this year. We're going to get some time to ourselves. God, because he's going to be entertained with that, right? For a long time. 2 days, maybe. If you get that. And where is it? It's either in the corner, broken,
mm-hmm.
right? Or lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And what is he doing? He ain't crying and rubbing his eye, talking about, I lost my toy, I broke my toy, I can't find my toy. Yeah. That ain't what he's saying. He's saying, Mom, you see this right here? If you get this from me, I ain't gonna never ask for nothing else again. Ever again. Huh? He don't mean to lie. But it's not the truth. The truth is not in him, is it? But that is the way of human beings. That's human nature, right? I'm just glad that we don't have a new nature. Completely new nature. Because it would be some people that would have the audacity. And I've heard people say that. That if heaven is perfect, then it will be perfectly born. I've heard some people say that. And I don't mean Christians. I'm talking about some atheists and folks that are agnostics and some folks that just undecided folks, right? Mm-hmm. They look, oh, I don't want to be walking around those streets of gold and all that. Oh, That's the reason why I keep watching these soaps and whatever else I'm watching, right? And scandals and whatever else things going on with folks that happening in under this relationship and that relationship, right? It won't be that way in heaven. You won't thank God. You'll have a new nature, right? Those things will have no appeal at all. They should not, should they?
Mm-hmm.
Because we are preparing ourselves and getting ready for eternity. Use that gift to the glory of God. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all to the glory of God. It tells us in this particular verse that we should employ it in serving one another. It's not for you. It's for them. Be a good steward of God's manifold grace, right? We're supposed to be stewards, which means that we are in possession of something that does not belong to us. It belongs to another and has been entrusted in our hands to be used the way that God wants it to be used, for his purposes, to his glory. And this last verse as we close, whoever speaks it is to do so as one who speaks the utterances of God. If you have a speaking gift, if you are a teacher, you are to speak the utterances of God. What is the word of God? It is truth, isn't it? So that means if you teach, you shouldn't be giving your opinion, right? You shouldn't be flying fast and loose with what? With the truth, right? Mm-hmm. Well, like, yeah, that was a good question. I don't know the answer, but I'm going to just say this, right? I'm going to give you an answer, right? So I can make myself look like I know what I'm talking about. Well, the right thing to do would be what?
I don't know.
The answer to that question. That's a good question. I'm going to research that. I'm going to study that. And next time I see you, I'm going to give you an answer. Hey, right? Why? Because the interest, the focus is on what? The truth, right? Speaking the utterances of God. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent, right? Satan is the father of lies, isn't he?
Hmm?
So don't fly fast and loose with the truth, even when talking about the word of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which come with God's supply. If you serve as if you know that the reason why you're doing this and the reason why you're burning the candle at both ends and at the middle is because God has given you strength to do so. It is not because you just picked yourself up by your bootstraps and kept going, right? When somebody says, sister or brother, I appreciate what you're doing, right? I see your labor of love, right? You don't be like, right? Something like this. Mm-hmm. Huh? You don't do that. God be the glory, right? Mm-hmm. Give praise, glory, and honor to God. So that why? So that all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You know what amen means? As it has been said, my God. So let it be. Right? When you say amen, that's the end of what? That's it. Right? That's the end of the prayer. Guess what? That's the end of the message. What do you say after amen? One thing you can do is pray. Stand with me. Serving each other with God's given gifts. That's what God intends for us to do with the gifts that he has given to us. Not that we use them for our own pleasure, not for our own glory, not to puff ourselves up or whatever, or to make ourselves look good in the sight of other people. But we use them because, one, we love each other, and because we love God. And the thing that motivates us is that we love God and that we love each other. But we also use these gifts bring glory and honor. honor to God, because God has given us directives, given us instructions, He has created us, and He has saved us on to good works. If there's one who does not know Jesus and pardon of your sins, that is to say, you have not made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ. You have not said, Jesus, I want you to be not only my Savior, but my Lord also. If you have not done so, and you feel the Spirit is speaking to you and telling you that today is the day of salvation, today is the day that you need to make that change, that choice, that a change in your life. We ask that you would come now. Tomorrow is not promised to anybody. Tomorrow is tomorrow. There's a whole lot of people that made plans for tomorrow, and tomorrow never came. So in the day that you hear from our journey, today is the day of salvation. There might be somebody who just needs strength, prayer for strength. Maybe you've been going through something. Your faith has been tested and tried. We ask for you to come forward at this time. Just because you get saved don't mean that you don't have any more problems, right? On the contrary, it is the beginning of your tests and your trials and your troubles, right? The difference is that now you have Jesus Christ. Now you have the Holy Spirit. Now you have the Word of God and the promises of God. And then you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have an awareness and understanding that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but He is faithful to deliver them from them all. I don't know if any visitors or not. Joining this church, body of believers, if there is one, we want to give you an opportunity to make your desire to know at this time. We're going to entertain the requests of those who have come up to the altar.
Amen. Amen.
We all stand in the need of prayer. We all stand in the need of strength. If you're a Christian who don't need strength, you must not be doing something right.
Right.
You have not been met with opposition where you need to call on the strength of the Lord. We ask right now that those who are in the congregation that you bow your heads. Listen, says we pray, praying for you. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this another day that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord God, for these souls, Lord God, who come boldly before you, Lord, for mercy, Lord God, as your word has instructed and as it is commanded, Lord God. And Lord God, we ask right now, Lord God, that you would help them, that whatever they ask, Lord God, that they ask in faith, that they not doubt, Lord God, they not waver in their mind, Lord God. That they not be unstable in all their ways, Lord God. For we know that man ought not ask for anything, Lord. But Lord, we ask right now, Lord God, that you would touch these precious souls, Lord God. They're asking for strength, Lord God. And Lord God, we know, Lord God, that you are able, Lord, to give strength, Lord God. You are able, Lord God, to bless us exceedingly and abundantly above that which we can ask or think, Lord God. And Lord God, we know, Lord, that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you, Lord God, are faithful, Lord God, and you have promised that you will deliver them, not from some of them, but all of them, Lord God. And we ask right now, Lord God, that you will give them an encouragement, knowing, Lord God, that they can do all things through Christ, who strengthens them, Lord God. Dear Lord God, help them not to grow weary in well-doing, for Lord, in due season they shall reap, if they faint not.
Amen.
And Lord, we ask right now, Lord God, that you give them that steadfastness, Lord God, word spoke about, Lord God, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Lord, verse 58, Lord God. Lord, we're asking right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that you would touch them, Lord God. They might be steadfast. They be unmoved, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that their labor is not in vain in the Lord. Help them, Lord God, to trust in you, Lord God, to acknowledge you, Lord God, in all of their ways, and lean not to their own understanding. Lord God, help them now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, as long as you can. Search their hearts, Lord God. Bless them, Lord God, in accordance to their faith, that they might prosper as their soul prospered, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at NLCC Pontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.